You do learn what?
To be defended by the Lord is the title of today's message. And the passage is found in John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Here's the word of God. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in women caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus stood them up and asked him, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sirs," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." And so we will have a lesson from this. "Any of you have no sin, throw the first stone at her." And I've been reminded. And the oldest one was leading first. Just like me. The older one was the one. So I am reminded. I'm older now. So that my life can be corrected by the Lord. With the title, "To be defended by the Lord." And the key verse is Psalm 33 and 4. "If you, Lord, take a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that when we can, with reverence, serve you." So let's read the word of key verse. "If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." And this title will be shared with us through our pastor. I invite our pastor to come. Welcome to everyone to come and worship. And we welcome those who are coming from travel. So some of us coming from and to come down and worship with us. And we welcome those who are coming from Denver to worship with us. We give thanks to the Lord that this morning we will study together with the title "To Be Defended." In General 14, we talk about our relationship. We see the relationship between us and God, and they can only be blind. Because Yahuwah can tell, each one of us very important, because we have the responsibility to show the Lord us to them. And on the week of 21st, we have a connection between us and us. When we are in Christ, that our life will bear fruit, will be very important. Though we can live in the time of trouble, we continue to be in peace because we know how the Lord is. And today, we learn about we belong to Christ. We learn in the spirit, experience the grace of God and those who will be defended by the Lord. And the key verse in Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. And this so if you, Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But even if the Lord remember all our sin, nobody can live. But the author thought that he is forgiving of our sin. So we will think about this passage. In John chapter 8, verse 11 to 1, talk about the love of the Lord. Christ in one situation, we will put this ourselves into this woman's situation because we also, we've been condemned. We are, we can be judged in the day of judgment. And when we learn how the Lord defended us, when Satan condemns us, when we are being condemned by others around us, we also defend us the day of judgment. Your congregation. There is a survey with the question, do you think you will go to heaven? Do you think you will go to heaven? Maybe yes, right? I think we are better than heaven because we're good. But in that survey, 80% believe that they themselves would go to heaven. They thought that they would go to heaven. And they put forward to compare to see those, the one believe, are they going to go to heaven? And so they say, Teresa, Mother Teresa, and maybe charities, is Teresa going to go to heaven? And 79 said, agree that Mother Teresa would go to heaven. And another one, the television is Oprah Winfrey. How many people think Oprah would go to heaven? And they said 66% believe that Oprah Winfrey will go to heaven. How about Bill Clinton? Well, it's all the influence. And 52% believe that Bill Clinton will go to heaven. And they talk about Dennis Rodman, a basketball.
Dennis Rodman,
he's also a basketball player. He's also the wrestler. And this person has commit many legal offenses. They were at police coming in and they asked, this would Dennis Rodman go to heaven? And at least 28% agreed that he would go to heaven. And they asked about O.J. Simpson, another NFL player. And they asked, will he go to heaven? 90% respondent believe that O.J. Simpson would go to heaven. These numbers, we believe that whether we are good or bad, in their standard, there are certain people think that some of these people would go to heaven. But the important thing with me and you is that it's not just how many people tell us that we will go to heaven, but it's only we accepted by the Lord. Let's pray for guidance before we study the Word of God. How much God is loving us. We are loving Father when we are facing your word. We know that we are weak and short of understanding. Dear Lord, come to us so that help us to understand you better, so that we can see the grace in our lives. So when we allow to connect to the vine with the branch, you have connected to us for your glory. Many times we thought that we believe in you, but sometimes we can deny you any time. because we do not know what the future will hold. That we do not understand our own faith. We are thankful, you know us, and you believe that you will defend us before any combination. When you make us understand how much you have loved us, so that we have an attitude and a faith before you, worthy of your love. May you teach us to your word. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read the story knowing that, wow, Jesus went up to us. What is he going up there for? To prayer. This is the habit of Jesus. Jesus prayed in the night. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. So, with the relationship, the time to not only pray to God, but afterward to serve, and then how to worship, so the people can recognize God, who God is through Jesus, to understand the salvation plan. But you, there are some who come for the teacher of the law of the Pharisee brought in a woman caught in an adultery. They made her stand before the teacher. This woman was caught in the act of adultery, and that the law Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say, brother? The congregation, maybe the time to worship the Lord, and all these people, all the one has a position in society, but they are using time for what? To find, to trap Jesus. What do you say about the situation? But Jesus bent down and started to walk on the ground with his finger. Did they continue questioning him? He straight up and said to them, we do not know what he was writing. However, when God is writing, it's very important. At least the Bible show the finger of God. The first is that when God Moses to have the two stone tablets on Mount Sinai so that God can give his commandment in Exodus 18 and the tablet carry the stone written by the hand of God. According to Moses, this kind of women must be stoned. But Jesus just one. The law did not come from Moses. It came from the Lord. God gave the law. And God said, what is the and so he will know how the people will keep his commandments. Your congregation and the writing of God remind us that we are facing the law, which is the word of God. We are not condemned by others. We are not condemned by Satan, but the love of God, he will defend us, his children, when we keep his commandment. If you love me, what do you do? Keep my commandment. And this is a way we could not, a way to get away from condemnation. The second event, when the finger of God was writing, is in Daniel chapter 5. God has written the destiny of Babylonian empire. The last king is Belshazzar. Belshazzar, because of his arrogance, used all the instruments in the temple of the Lord to have a party with them that Nebuchadnezzar had brought from Israel. And they used these instruments to party, to praise his God and to be blaspheme the God of Israel. But in that chapter, during the party, there is a hill appear writing on the wall that nobody understands. The king was shaken before the pain, the image. there was a grave, but there is something from the power of that hand which there shall to be fruitful. Who can explain what is going on? Somebody said, to be holy, there is someone here. This Daniel, he was also serving, was exiled from Israel, and he participated in the Nebuchadnezzar king. That person can explain. And so he invited Daniel, and Daniel said to king, this word has meaning that mene persecution. That means you have been way on the scale. The Lord has counted all the days of your king, that you are a weak king, not praising the Lord, and forsaken, that your kingdom will be divided. And in that night, and the meat and good, and they connect and defeat the Babylonian, and they feed the world with a new empire, according to the word of God. That the king Nebuchadnezzar had triumphed years before. And we see the hand of God. There is something very important. Jesus was riding on the farm. But he writes, maybe was surprised when they brought to him a woman that she is not in adultery and she is condemned. But what Jesus wrote, to ask who any of you who will be the first to grow, who group of you will put on the scale? Nobody can stand before the scale. We all commission for sure the glory of God. God is not concerned that somebody was condemned, but God is always concerned that how that a sinner can become sinless. This is what Jesus put forward. Jesus put forward the one, those who are bringing this woman. And Jesus answered, and no, any one of you has no sin, throw the first stone. Let anyone who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. These people thought that only the other women are sinful, but they are no sin. They are the Pharisees, they're the keepers of the law. But God make these people realize that everybody has sinned. And the Lord understood this woman because they used as a someone to trap Jesus. And if Jesus said, do this. So that means what Jesus has taught about love has no value anymore. But if Jesus said, yes, forgive her, then they would say to them, Jesus has made somebody sin to be forgiven. So in either way, they can condemn Jesus and trap Jesus. But Jesus did not think the way they thought. Jesus just put forward, are you a sinner or not? And Jesus said, who among you without sin? Throw the first stone at her. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they want to throw the stone at her because he hated Jesus. They want to use a woman to be a trap to condemn Jesus. The second point, Jesus, they have a wicked heart. The wicked heart, if Jesus wants to throw a woman, they would throw stone her. That means they are sacrificing this woman's life as long as they can trap Jesus. And third, they are hypocrites. According to the Moses, the adult woman will be stoned to death. The law of Moses in Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10, when two commit adultery and both of them will come before the people and the people will stone both of them. Now there is no male beard, only the female. They were used to somebody to trap this woman to be saved. And they only brought the woman. It just said Moses condemned. They thought that they keep Moses from the way. But they did not keep the law of Moses according to what is written. But there was a scheming. Satan is somebody who caused deceiving thoughts inside each of us. And so they only brought a woman, and they thought they keep the law. They didn't. And the law God has given to Israel after God has saved them from slavery in Egypt, from Egypt to the Sinai. And then the law was given them. That means the law was given not because to for them to keep. And then they failed. But the Lord saved the human, the people. And then the Lord gave the laws so that they can keep the law to affirm that they belong to God. We do not keep the law keep the word of God for the saving. We do not give offering to be saved. We are saved so that we can make offering. We are saved so that we can study on God. We are saved that we can keep the word of God. And this is how Jesus expressed himself through his word. Keeping the law is something that is worth it to you. Not to keep it with the stone in them, but to keep with the heart, to be thankful because of his saving grace. And these people could not keep the law of Moses because they despised the Son of God. How could someone obey the Moses while the people came to trap the Son of God? And in the Old Testament, when God called Israel to make a temple, where Moses would come to meet the Lord in the temple, then Moses and the Levite can bring offerings that they are, that the atonement for the sin being forgiven. But in the way to the temporary tent, and before the meeting, there is a container of water. When the Levites bring the offering down, they must wash their hands in that pot of water. Why do they have to wash themselves? Not because they are building this pot of water, not to wash down the dust, so that you will not die before the Lord. And Jesus used a wash for themselves first, so that they would not die before the Lord. And the way the Pharisee to condemn woman is the same way that Satan is condemning each one of us. Always there is a way of our fault to condemn us. But we are thankful that the Lord did not value the interest according to our sin. Like Psalm 130, if you keep the record of our sin, who can stand? But you have forgiveness in you for those who fear you. This is child. A boy has stolen a watermelon. And he stood before the church to be sentenced. The judge asked, the boy, in this case, and before this child receive a sentence, the judge asked, have you anything you wish to say before I pass sentence on you? The boy paused for a moment, and then he said, judge, have you ever stolen a watermelon? Subdued laughter was heard throughout the courtroom. Because every child in the Tokyo The church pounded the gravel for order. Then, after a long look at the boy, he said, "No cross-examination allowed. Case dismissed." Because the judge recognized it. He also stole the word of God. And in our life, we are condemned by Satan. The Lord has a way to defend us. In Romans chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, that who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. The blood of Christ has shed for me to declare us righteous, not because the work we do. And God guaranteed it. That blood of Christ guaranteed that you are forgiven. Who will condemn? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's praying for us right now in heaven. We're thankful because Satan can condemn us, but we know we have the one Jesus who is interceding for us at the right hand of Father. Then we feel the love of God for us. The second point let's think about is that God defend us when others condemn us. Satan condemn us, he will defend us. But also God defend us when others condemn us. Who among you is without sin, then throw the first stone at her. Verse 9. And then they are leaving one by one. First the elders. Dear congregation, God did not say that this woman did not sin. But God does not want sinners to die. The attribute of God, God is not seized when a sinner is down. To eliminate sin must be done. But we cannot see a crash into that we forgot the plank in our eyes. It looks so that how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, that you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So before God, it's not whether we have big sin or small sin in before God, whether we are sinner or not. Jesus died to forgive our sin. And the story here, everybody, the woman did not sin. But the woman understood that she is a sinner, worthy of death. But when Jesus said, "Whoever without sin among you, first of the first of," the Bible said, they left one by one. All of them knew that they are sinners. And they love one by one. That means every single one are sinners. Nobody feels that they have no sin. And they love one by one. The elders first. That means the longer we live, the more sin we are. They love everyone. No one left. That means that no one is without sin. And sometimes we know that we can feel that we feel that arrogant because we have something good about us. And so Satan will condemn us. When someone belongs to the Lord, that one to have a stone in hand to throw, and that person has forgotten the grace of God. Well, we did not understand the grace for us, or we did not forget the grace that we have received from the Lord. We can only understand the love of God when we throw away the stone that we are about to throw against her. Our word, the Lord said that, "Do not condemn the brother." God did not say this not just because the woman faith, but he also concerned with those, the Pharisee. Jesus not just loved the woman
sin,
but he also do now who are trapping Jesus. The sinner will die. That's the law of God. And the Bible knows that because of Adam has sinned, and in Adam everybody died. But thanks be to God, there is a wonderful thing happened. That is, Jesus has a in Adam, everybody died. But in Christ, everybody lives. When people experience the gate open, they will can experience the blessing of God. When the sins are forgiven, in Adam, everybody died. But in Christ, everyone can live. And there is a PhD, the DSD, preach about the cross of Christ. Somebody, I mean, I don't want to hear about Jesus' death. Some young, can you preach that Jesus is a model for us so that we can follow him? We don't need the cross, this little young man said. Can you see? And Stephen, when I teach about the model of God, are you willing to follow his model? And this young person said, yes, I will follow that model. And this preacher said, he has never sinned. In his mouth, there is no lie. Can you model Jesus that way to live a sinful? No, I cannot. I cannot. No, no. And I have committed many sins. I have lied many times. It's that's you. The first step is not that to follow a model for your life, but you need the saving grace in your life. The gospel of the Lord is not that you and I do something good that we cannot say, but the gospel mission to accept the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for us. And the Bible says, love one by one, from the oldest one to the youngest, and love Jesus by himself. Why only Jesus said? Because only Jesus has the ability to condemn or forgive sin, the congregation. The Bible tells us that in the garden, when God created Adam and Eve, put in the Garden of Eden, every day God come and communicate with them. But something happened that if Satan can make them sin, to tempt it into sin, they became sinners. The attribute of sin has entered Adam by that disobey God and obey the temptation of God. And that means they cannot be connected to God anymore. The Bible says, when they heard the voice of God, Adam hid because of he was afraid. What caused them to hide? Because the sin nature cannot be new to God. When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, then there is a understanding knowing that they have lost the glory of God, and now they are naked before the Lord. They try to cover their nakedness with the wolves to make the kind of clothes to cover them. They come here soon. They love by the leaves and can cover the shame with each other, but they could not cover the shame of their sin before God. The Bible says that God has called them to kill some animal and use the skin to make the clothes for Adam and Eve. And the issue not with the skin of animal is better than the leaves. Not so. But the point that God gives them the ability so that they can stand before the Lord through this. And Jesus is the way given to us so that we can stand before the Lord. And so only Jesus can condemn you and me. but also only Jesus can give us to escape that condemnation. How we can stand before the Lord. God has given Adam and Eve is the animal skin, and God can give us the Jesus who died for us on the cross so that our sin can be forgiven. And the Bible in 1 John says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful to forgive our sin and make our sin clean of all our unrighteousness. When we have this Jesus, He is keeping His promise, and you and I, no one can do and escape the condemnation except to accept Jesus into our life. Today, God continues to have grace for everyone who wants to experience forgiveness of sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sin and make us cleansed of all unrighteousness. We give thanks because we are being defended when the Satan condemns. We defend it when others condemn. And the third point, that the Lord will defend us on the day of judgment. When Jesus stood up in verse 10, have mercy. Jesus prayed, yes, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, sir. No one can condemn this woman. But Jesus said, He is the ability to condemn. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. When God, I condemn you, that's him. That this be the woman has no sin. And that means that the woman is single, but his sins are forgiven. And Jesus said, go home. And so, but this woman gave an opportunity for sinners to repent. We are sinners, but God gave the opportunity so that we can come close to the Lord. Eliminate your wicked thinking. Those who are doing wrong, to eliminate wrong things, come to the Lord. Because the forgiveness is God has created an opportunity for this woman. He said, go now and leave your life of sin. From now, sin no more. That means from that point on, this woman has met Jesus to receive the defense of Jesus. There is something different now for this woman. God knows that her past has a sinful past, but He didn't look at it. He is looking forward to this woman's future who has been met Jesus, and this person has will change. From now on, this is the way that can be open, and each one of us can be like this. When I read this story, I thought that maybe this woman understood why this somebody, Jesus didn't condemn him. He is the woman, but it's very different from the angry. He's different than the authority in the religious Canada. Others condemn us and want to throw me. But why Jesus would not condemn me, this woman God, maybe would understand until one day. One day she heard that Jesus was led into Golgotha. But if this woman too went to the Golgotha, or Jesus was a big people, she will hear the Lord. Dear Father, please forgive them, for they do not, but they do. The value of this woman has been forgiven and put it on Jesus. Jesus did say, you are forgiven. I have paid for your sins, but that sin has been paid on the cross by Jesus. What Jesus said, dear Father, forgive them what they do. Well, you therefore they know that
that's
the thing, not to count sin. But Jesus wants to say, please make their sin to be upon my life. And that's the meaning of the saying, please forgive them. Forgive them doesn't mean to forgive them, not to punish them, but as for to punish me in
fairness.
Jesus needs punishment, and Jesus accepts the punishment. So the sins of a woman can be forgiven. Jesus accepts the punishment of God, so you and I can be forgiven. This is the only way for the woman to be forgiven. This is the way for the Pharisee to be forgiven. And also, this is the way for you and I also be forgiven. They would not understand of God's ability to condemn because of his righteousness, but they would not understand about the God who is loving that can die instead of others so the other can be saved. No one of us can understand this mystery. We are helpless about our sin. The least hope has been exchanged for a skin animal from that God supplied to Adam and Eve. And the sin of the woman has been paid for. And this is by the cross upon which God and Psalm reminded us. You will not keep your anger forever, but you treat us according to our sin. He did not pay us according to our wickedness, but his love, he has can forgive us so that we can serve him. And this is how the Lord will defend us when the day of judgment. And it is somewhere we can think about our life to repent of all of our sins in our life. And the one God, the blood of Christ will forgive our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Feel valid today. A man named George Thomas was a pastor in a small New England town. He entered this church one Easter morning with a rusty old bent birdcage. He set the birdcage on a pulpit, causing a few raised eyebrows. Why did he have a cage? What for? Then he began to think. Yesterday morning, I came across a young boy who had three scared birds in a cage, shivering from the cold. I asked him, what do you got there? Just some dumb old birds. What are you going to do with them? And the boy said, tease them, play with them, and pull out their feathers. Then what are you going to do with them? Feed them to my cat. He likes
birds.
And then the pastor went silent for a moment about how the cats would devour these birds. And then the pastor asked, how much would you like for those birds? Oh, you don't want these. They're ugly, and they can even sing. But the pastor, how much? The reply came definitely from the pastor, how much? The boy thought for a moment and said, $10. The pastor reached into his pocket and pulled out $10. The boy took the money and vanished. The pastor picked up the cage, walked to the end of the alley where there was a tree and a small grassy spot. He opened the door by gently tapping the bars of the cage and coaxed the birds out of the grass. They were free. This is the birdcage. Has been explained to Pastor. Then he explained the birdcage on the pulpit, and he proceeded to tell the story. One day, Satan and Jesus was walking, and Satan had just come out of the Garden of Eden. He was gloating and boasting, "Yes, sir, I caught me a whole world of people." Set a trap they just couldn't resist. Yep, got them all. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? Came the reply. Gonna have some fun with them. Teach them how to hate, hurt, and kill each other. Then what are you going to do? Well, then I will kill them and bring them down into my kingdom. And Jesus paused. How much do you want for them? And Satan said, "Oh, you don't want them. They'll just hate you, spit on you, mock you, and kill you. They don't want you." Jesus paused and looked straight and said, "So, how much?" Satan looked at Christ and sneered. "All of your tears, all your blood, all your life." Jesus paid the price. Pick up the cage and open the door. This is where God resolved that Adam and the rest of the descendants to make the sin of this one man to be forgiven. The way the Pharisee to know their sinful condition. And this is the way for you and I to be free from our sinful nature. And Jesus said to the woman, "From now on, go and sin no more." This is the decision that she has the decision to make. That's her option. That's her freedom. God has done to pay for her sin. And today, Jesus is telling us, go and sin no more. We have the freedom to decide. If the one who condemned walked away, to throw away their condemning stone, they throw away their stone on the ground. But tomorrow, they will pick up the stone again. Think of what we can see. Maybe we recommit to return to our old ways, the grace of the Lord, in the way only when brought to us to begin a new life. From now on, we will sin no more. Jesus had done what is necessary, but the rest is belong to us. What is our decision? We have been defaced. But in this new year, 2024, our turn is according to our own decision. And so, reminding us, if you, Lord, kept a record of sin, who could stand? But thanks be God. He has a forgiving heart to us. He has mercy on us so that we can, in reference, serve Him. May the word of the Lord encourage each one of us. We can feel God's love, can feel the forgiveness of God, so that we can promise from now on we will live without sin before the Lord. We can use this time to pray, giving thanks to the Lord for His sacrificial death. The one can open the door so that we can be free to escape our sinfulness. We are thankful because we've been defended, that Satan or other people trying to find a way to condemn us. And so, we also been defended to escape the judgment on the day of judgment. We are loving God. We are thankful because of your love. You know, we could not do anything to save ourselves from this sinful condition. Jesus has stood in a center so that today we can be committed. You accepted all the shame so we can experience the glory of God. You humble yourself so that we can be lifted up. You have chosen a mother on this earth so that we have a father in heaven. You have become poor so we can become rich. You have died so we have life. And nothing in us that can repair, but let us hear your voice and that we can promise that we believe, that we will live without sin. You know our weaknesses, but we will never close the saving door. The door is always safe, open, so that we can enter into a relationship with you. And so, you're waiting for us that may our heart be softened to accept your gift of saving grace. What causes us not to accept this gift? May you help us not to condemn brothers, but to guard ourselves against your love. We are needing your mercy, but if you count ours in, no one can stand before you. We are thankful that you forgive our sin so we can have a reference mark the rest of our life. May our life be a reference mark to in this new year. You will help us to become fearing of you, and so that your word that many through our life to recognize the gospel through our life. Please help us all these fruit to express the sweetness of those fruit in the branch with the vine. May the glory be yours. We are thankful and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.